Creating lasting, soul-fulfilling love is one of the greatest missions of our lives, but that beautiful goal can sometimes feel almost impossible to attain. But is it impossible, and is there a way? I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book series Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars and my really special 30-day love challenge, Love Lessons for the Soul, and several summits. And my guest today will be speaking on the upcoming Women and Love Summit. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. And today I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with Ken Page. We met originally a long time ago in a training all about the mind-body-spirit connection and touch therapy. So before I welcome you, let me just give a little intro. Ken Page, LCSW, is a renowned psychotherapist, popular Psychology Today blogger, Huffington Post blogger, and author of the bestseller, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. He has been featured in O, the Oprah Magazine, in the New York Times, Cosmopolitan, Fox News, WPIX TV News, Match.com, Christian Mingle, J-Date, and more. Ken Page has led hundreds of workshops on intimacy and spirituality for thousands of participants. His work has been highly acclaimed by numerous top thought leaders, including Harville Hendrix and Helen McKelly Hunt, Arielle Ford, who's also speaking on the Women in Love Summit, Edward Hollowell, MD, Chip Conley, Judith Orloff, MD, and Catherine Woodward Thomas. So for me, it's an absolute pleasure to introduce and welcome Ken Page. Welcome.
Erica, it's so good to be here, and it really is incredible how long we've known each other and respected each other's work and just been so connected. And I even remember that when we first met a long, 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 long time ago, oh my gosh, how long ago was it? It was like 30-something years ago, yes. Right? We both talked about the value and the importance of intimacy in some of our first conversations, so that's pretty amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. You remember that. Wow.
I do.
And what's
interesting to see, it's
interesting to see the choices that we make and how you've just taken the information, you keep learning and expanding and growing and writing about it and sharing with people instead of just keeping it inside.
Thank you for saying that. Well, you know, it's been such a journey for me because I wanted a relationship for so many years and, you know, finally ended up getting married at 60 years old, almost 60 years old.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's been such a journey because I was the worst dater I knew, and it was not for lack of trying. Oh, my God, did I try. But I tried with lack of wisdom, and I kept repeating patterns again and again, willfully and stubbornly, that I really thought were going to lead me to love. But because they were about, like, some fundamental feeling of being lacking and limited and needing to make myself better, I fell on my face every time. Nothing worked for about a million deep reasons. And then I came to understand, because I got a lot of help, because it mattered enough that I had to get humble. I even started a support group for chronically single psychotherapists like me, because, you know, there are lots of us. And, you know, what I came to learn what I came to learn was that the great, 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 great key to finding love is to lead with your, if you want a soulmate, you lead with your soul. And that means leading with the parts of you that you might have been ashamed of, the parts of you that have made you feel different, that have made you feel too sensitive, too tender, too intense, too vulnerable, that in fact those parts,
I
now the first
something.
Thing,
Ken.
Sure.
Ken, just let me add something. As a sensitive person, and I always was very sensitive, I ran into dates, men, people I really cared about, who would tell me I'm too sensitive. So
yes.
I would already feel like I'm too sensitive, and they would verify that. So then I
That's
got
right.
afraid to share. So talk about
and
that
then
a
it's
little
this,
bit.
I will, because it's the most terrible, terrible hall of mirrors when you're stuck in that place. Because here's the cycle. You think, oh, my God, I am too sensitive. It's horrible. It's really unattractive. And then you push that stuff down, but because your soul is there, it backfires. We cannot make our soul completely suppressed. It's an act of quiet violence when we try to suppress our soul, and it always ends up creating masochistic bad situations. But we and then we feel like I did it again. I was too sensitive. And the amazing thing there is that there is, and this I feel like is one of the most important things I've learned in my work as a teacher and as a student of this material, is that how we view those qualities in ourselves, those soul qualities, if you will, determines who we're sexually attracted to. So if we take those parts of ourselves, like the part you described, Erica, this deep sensitivity, right, and then we shame that.
Yeah.
We think we have to squish it down. Here's what's going to happen, and it's amazing. We're going to be sexually and romantically attracted to people who don't have that attribute and tend to squash it and step on it. The minute we decide, I don't care, this is my soul, this is me, and I'm going to have to honor it, and I know that there are precious people out there who'll honor it too, and they're the only people I'm interested in. When we make that decision, not only does our dating life change, but something amazing happens. Our romantic attractions actually change. We start getting sexually and romantically attracted to people who cherish us. And that's a miracle. And I've seen that happen in my work as a therapist and a teacher and in my own life again and again. The key to all of this is the acknowledging of our what I call core gifts, those places that are the most sensitive, the most original. Those are they're our greatest attractor of love. And when we're in a relationship, as hard as it could be to share those parts, the more we cherish them and share them in a way that honors them, but also honors our partner's qualities like that, the more love becomes magical and incredible, and the richer our lives become.
And I'd like to add something to that. You say that so beautifully. As I honor this sensitivity in me, for example, as I honor it, the people around me stop criticizing me for being sensitive. They start appreciating it, even if they're not as sensitive. That's
Absolutely.
What happens. I'm bringing out their compassion or whatever it is that they need to
Beautiful.
Receive.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, a friend of mine says this in a kind of crude way. But I'm going to share it because I think it's good. We train the people around us as to how much of their bullshit we're willing to accept. And and we get trained the same. And that's part of what it means to be a human being, is that reflecting back of, like, you hurt me or you didn't see me. And that, in a way, is like the medicine that melts the hardness in our heart, is the ability to say, oh, to someone we love, I didn't see you. That's just such an act of love to do that and to say that and to fix it and to try again. You know, they say that love is a journey of rupture and repair. And it is that. It's not that we just get it right. It's that we hurt the trust, we fix it. We hurt the trust, we fix it. And that's an act of beauty and compassion. So what you're describing, Erica, is like so important, because that's what we do in an intimate relationship. We instruct our partner into the language of our soul. And then we try to learn this amazing other language, which is our partner's soul language as well. And that's the work of a lifetime.
Wow. But I want to get back to something that just so beautifully said. I want to get back to the piece about trust. I am really running into, as a major issue lately, is the issue of trust. And so far it's been mostly men who seem to be breaking the trust. And it has to do with maybe going to a strip club, maybe calling an ex-wife or a girlfriend or texting someone, something where the partner finds it, the trust is broken. But if the man owns up to it, realizes the hurt that just got caused, and they share and communicate and break it down, they can build such a solid, happy relationship afterwards. So I love what you said about rupture and repair.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. And, you know, in those cases, though, just to say where those kind of actions that you just described, those kind of behaviors are compulsive, you know, it's important for us also to just say that, like, what the repair might involve is ongoing help. Like, if it's a compulsive behavior, and that's I'm so glad you brought that up, because trust is so key. And, like, you know, the dynamic of domestic abuse often is abuse, deep and profound apologies and remorse, back to abuse, back to the apologies and remorse, and that's ultimately not a sustainable pattern. So, you know, part of the repair isn't just saying, I'm sorry and I'll try harder. It may well need to be that you say something different to yourself, and that is, I am going to do whatever it takes to fix this in me, and that includes getting help. So just, you know, mentioning that we need to do that, you know, we need to get help.
And they also have to prove to the other person that they are willing to continue to get help. There are couples that come for counseling, and if they only stay a certain amount of time, and he doesn't really, not only he, she, whoever is, you know, the one creating the lack of trust, they have to stay in the counseling and really prove that they're working on it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So much so, yeah.
So I have a question. Why do you say in your book that we should drop our games of seduction and stop trying to seduce others? When you watch TV or movies, you see that all the time, and it seems to work.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. I'm so glad you asked that, because that is just so important. And, you know, in this book that I wrote, Deeper Dating, which is now available on Audible. So I'm so excited about that. It's available on Amazon.
Oh, wonderful.
But yeah, I'm excited that just happened. But so in the book, I talk about this a lot, and I talk about it because it's where I got so trapped. Like, I really believed in my decades, and I mean decades, of singlehood, that it was really all about the physical shape I was in. Like, if you had me drill down to my most honest truth, I would say 15 pounds and more muscle. Like, that was what the issue was. And then I guess the other one I would have said is that there's a softness and an oversensitivity in me that I have to fix. Now, all those things, I mean, it's great to look great. That is a wonderful gift to ourselves and to our partners. But this thing that we get, just like you said, Erica, like in the media all the time, like, you have to learn to become irresistible. The trying to become irresistible is basically the path to hell, because it's the worst thing in the world to try for. It's just the path to hell. You want to be you, and then by being you, that irresistibility to the right person will happen in a way that's bigger and more natural and more meant to be than anything you could ever squeeze together by holding your stomach in and twisting yourself into a pretzel of who you're supposed to be. So, you know, all this stuff, even the stuff about playing hard to get, it turns out that there's fabulous research done in speed dating events that proves that playing hard to get doesn't work. It might make somebody want you more temporarily, but it will also make them like you less. And what does work is somehow, so there's there's hard and fast research that this playing hard to get thing is not really a good way to go. What it, what the research shows does work is this: trusting your discrimination. And when you meet someone who makes your heart sing by the kind of human being they are and by how they treat you, and you have that feeling of, this is the kind of person I'm looking for. They inspire me with their goodness, not just their smartness, not just their sexiness, but also with their goodness and their consistency and their decency. And then when you share that with that person, when you let them know, I'm not looking for just anybody, you don't have to say it that way, but they get the sense that there's a quality of dignity about you and that who they are is the kind of human being you're looking for. That is an aphrodisiac. But that's not what we're taught. Mm. But that's what works. That's what works. You know, all of this journey to find love can be broken down into a kind of oversimplistic but useful binary concept, which is that there are two kind of attractions that we all have. Attractions of deprivation. Those are attractions where we keep getting turned on because we almost can get the person to love us or treat us right. And that's endlessly seductive, and it's hot as hell, but it's also the path to hell. Or attractions of inspiration, and we have to kind of cultivate our ability to appreciate those. But those are attractions where we're attracted to somebody because of their goodness, their decency, their stability, their creativity, and by the solidness of who they are in the world, the solidness of their integrity. And when we make a decision to only pursue those attractions, period, the end, our entire search for love changes. I cannot tell you how many people I've worked with that decision, and I know in myself too, changes the world. But nobody teaches us this. And it's such a simple, powerful, important concept. And I know for you, Erica, that I feel like you and I have gone through similar journeys where we had to learn that the hard way. And then we did because of all the work
we did. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to learn it. And what's interesting is people are deceptive. Somebody can appear to be good. Very often the person who sounds the sweetest and seems good is just putting on a front. And the one who really is good and kind may come off a little defensive at the beginning because they've been hurt. So you really need to spend
good
the time to really evaluate and find out who is this person.
It's so true. You know, there's a Native American saying that is, you don't really know anybody till your first fight. And in a way, that's true.
That's great.
Because when it is, right? Because when things are bad and hard and challenging, you see who the human being is. That's one of the things that I love the most about my husband, and one of the ways that I kind of really knew this is someone really wonderful, is that when things are difficult, when he's upset and when he's hurt, when he's angry, he's exquisitely careful not to hurt anybody. It's almost like that comes first to him in expressing his truth. And that's a quality that ultimately makes me swoon. I used to swoon for people that were cocky and arrogant and, you know, God, I love that stuff. But now, thank God, I swoon for the strength, the power, the dignity of really fierce goodness. And, you know, when we do that, that's when we make the good choices.
Absolutely. And what happened with me with my husband is we were separate for a while, and this other guy was involved, and I broke my finger. The other guy thought, what's the big deal? The finger, you know, you can get around. And he didn't even help in any way. My husband made sure to come up and made sure I had food in the house and, you know, that I was okay. And that was it.
That's
matters.
That's the story. That's the story. In those little moments, it's like I heard that if you take a hologram and you break it, all the little pieces reflect the whole picture. And it's in those little actions, like you described, that we really see what someone is made of. And when we decide to make kindness and goodness and generosity the key thing, everything changes. But let me just say that I am not espousing that you have to marry or go out with someone who you're not sexually attracted to. You have a right to be sexually and romantically attracted to your partner. You know, there's a lot of people who might be really good friends, and you think, well, they're objectively attractive, but there's no chemistry there. What's wrong with me? Give yourself a break. That person is a friend. Don't force yourself to be sexually attracted to them. Look for someone with whom there's even a little bit of a spark. And I speak about that in my book a lot, how to kind of like build the spark of romantic and sexual attraction in a healthy way, but you can't force it. We can educate our attractions, but we cannot force them.
And to add to that, I've seen a lot of couples in therapy that started out as friends and are still friends, and they're still struggling because they don't have that spark.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about that?
I hate to say it, but sometimes it's like you just can't get past that, no matter what you do, because the spark is also based on maybe something that the other person has in their personality that's different from yours. That's a piece that stimulates you. It's really hard to say.
Yeah.
Or something in your
childhood
background that matches, you know, it's not easy. So
I think that's true. I think that's true.
Point.
Sure.
Yeah. You say that each of us has core gifts. So tell us about that. What are they, and how do people discover them and activate them?
Yeah, that's kind of the heart of everything, and that's what I'm going to be talking about this in this upcoming free class that you've been so kind to spread the word about. So our core gifts are the key, kind of the key to everything. They're the key to intimacy. They're the key to love. Why? Because authenticity is the key to everything, and it's the key to love. So if you picture a target, like a target with a circle, a series of circles, and in the center of that circle is the core of who you really are, where the heart of your humanity beats, your most authentic self, in your fear, in your pain, in your joy, in your ecstasy, in your tenderness, like the places where you are just pure you. That's the bullseye. But that place is nuclear and powerful and tender and more than most of us can bear. It's like looking at the sun, both in its vulnerability and its power. And that's where our soul lives. And
just
the light cast.
Before you continue, yesterday was the solar eclipse, and there was a song that I kept thinking of, a total eclipse of the heart. And people, you know, so it's so vulnerable, that place.
That's right. I remember a partner of mine one time, I said to him, I said, we're having a really hard fight. And I said, do you even love me anymore? And he looked at me, he said, Ken, he said, it's like the eclipse. You don't even see the sun. He said, I can't see my love for you right now, but the sun is there, and my love for you is there. I just can't see it right now. I just thought that was an amazing thing to say. Very beautiful, very wise.
That is.
Sometimes it's that way. Yeah. So as you go out away from that sun, that center, that nucleus, it's kind of like that's like the more, each ring out is more defended, more protected, less vulnerable, less authentic, and safer. But as you go out, your world gets colder and colder and colder. And the journey to intimacy is the journey to learn the tools to bear the beautiful heat and humanity of what lies closer and closer to our center, and to choose it again and again, and to love it again and again. And that's the path of greatness, and the path of love, and the path of happiness. And in that center, like as you get toward that center, even like God knows that inner ring, I guess, is like enlightenment, the inner ring. But even as you get close to there, there's an aura of beauty and magic. And that's what I call your gift zone. And each of us has core gifts that are as unique as our fingerprints. And those are the things we start to feel as we move closer to our core. And the true intimacy journey is the cherishing and the expressing of those parts of ourselves with bravery and generosity and the incredible, incredible gift of doing the same for our loved ones, to see those qualities and treat them like that. That's the great work of intimacy, and really ultimately, the only thing that works if we want sustainable, lasting love. So that's what our core gifts are. And in my book and in my teachings, I teach a kind of staged process for being able to discover and name your core gifts. And,
Basically
what that... Thank you. Yeah, that's the real work. That's the real work, right? That's the work that you and I teach. It's the work of true authenticity of the heart.
So tell us about this course, this special course that you're offering and when it is so people can sign up.
Sure. I'd love to. This is I think the most important free teaching event of my year. Last year we had 8,000 people attend, and it's an online event. This year I'm thrilled it's going to be on video, and it's a one-hour class, free class, where I get to teach people how to discover their core gifts, the process for doing that, and go into this material in more detail and teach people one of the most powerful practices I know to do that. So it's kind of like a good hour of my kind of trying to download the tools and the practices and the information that I think are most healing. And it's for people who are single and coupled, and it stands on its own. After that, there's actually a 7-session course which people could choose to attend or not, but there's so much valuable, wonderful, it's kind of a download of my heart and soul. And that's this Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific time. And anybody who attends can also, anybody who signs up can also get the recording just in case you can't make it at the actual event.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's
really
exciting. And I think you have the link for this, right, on your site or on your radio show?
It's on the radio show.
Yes, so I thank you for that.
It'll be all over social media.
Yay, that's great.
It was just so exciting to hear you talk about it, the beautiful way that you describe intimacy. Who wouldn't want that?
Oh, thank you, Erica. Who wouldn't want it, right? It's the great joy and it's the great adventure. And it's just such an incredible circle to get to connect with you and work with you and hear your beautiful show and get to speak to you and speak to your listeners and be part of your amazing work, because you are the real deal, and I've known that for decades. So, you know, it's an honor. It's an honor to be on this show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ken. It's just wonderful talking with you. And I'm excited. Not only are you going to be able to see Ken in his wonderful workshop, but he's also going to speak again on the Women in Love Summit in October. And
yay.
I'll keep that information out there when it's ready.
Fantastic.
So, Ken, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, just go to deeperdating.com. And this is for people, this is also, my material is also for people in relationships. So just go to deeperdating.com and you'll get, when you go there, if you sign up for my mailing list, you get a free ebook called 4 Insights to Transform Your Search for Love. But it's also for people who are in relationships, and it's kind of the 4 most liberating key concepts I've learned and understood. And so it's a wonderful ebook, and everyone who signs up for my mailing list will get that. And you just go to deeperdating.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming to the radio show today.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Erica.